Okay, welcome to another amazing podcast on Queenstown Life. And we have here Matt Booth. Hi, Matt.
Hello, Jen. How are you?
Pretty good. We're from, like, near each other.
We are. You went to uni in...
Huddersfield.
In Huddersfield, which isn't my hometown, but it's the nearest town of any distinction. Because no one wants to admit that they know Jewsbury.
And how long have you been in this fine town?
It's been 8 years now.
Whoa, catching me up.
But I'm left Yorkshire in my early 20s. But eight years in Queenstown. I went to Auckland for one night. That wasn't really for me. And then came to Queenstown and, yeah, been here ever since.
So the reason you're sitting here today is because I've heard of an exciting trip that you're planning.
Yes.
Do you want to tell us a little bit about what you're doing now and what you're planning to do?
What, as in what I do for a job?
Yeah, maybe.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah.
Well, at the moment, I'm the guy that takes care of Queenstown's wastewater.
Yes.
We'll call it that because people might be having the dinner when they listen to this or something like that. Yeah, I make sure all the stuff that goes down your sinks and whatnot gets to where it's meant to go.
Yes. Okay, and what are you planning on doing in the foreseeable?
In January.
So paint us a picture.
Paint you a picture. In January next year, I'm going to cast this pretty town to size and get on a little Honda motorbike.
Yeah.
What you might know as a postie bike.
Yeah.
And ride back to the UK, overland.
Okay. What does that look like?
It looks like...
What's your trip look like?
Yeah, it looks like riding to Auckland, flying to Brisbane, buying an identical bike for a few logistical and technical reasons.
Yeah.
Riding around Australia, chucking the bike on a boat to East Timor, then riding through East Timor, Indonesia, and across to the Malay Peninsula,
wow.
Malaysia, Thailand, ping pong shows, through to Burma, pagodas, Myanmar, as most people know, then into Bangladesh, India, Nepal, through to Pakistan, through to Iran, through to Turkey, and then I hit Bulgaria and turnip farmers and whatnot, and then through Europe, and back to the UK.
And how long do you see this taking you?
Visa issues, kidnapping, and various engineering maladies aside, 9 months-ish. That's okay. The time budget I've given. But that will all depend on, you know, whether I can get to Darwin without spending all my money and silly stuff like that.
So you're living your dream life in Queenstown, and all of a sudden you think, hey, up. what happened?
Ish, sort of. I mean, let me tell the story properly. In my early 20s, I read a book called The Wrong Way Home by a chap called Peter Moore. He's an Aussie travel writer. He travelled from London to Sydney without flying. Read the book, and like all good travel books, you just want it, you know, if it really, you know, nails home the message. I was in no financial situation to do that, but I still wanted to do it. Fast forward a few years, I get offered a job from my uncle in Australia. So I move from the UK to Australia, and then visas up in Australia, come to New Zealand. I'd heard all about Queenstown before I'd come to New Zealand, so right. Let's go to New Zealand. Let's go to Queenstown. And the dream was always there, the overland trip. But as I'm sure you will know, as will most people in Queenstown, saving money, it's
near like impossible.
It's platin fog. Yeah. It really is.
Yeah.
Fast forward 8 years, and I'm in a financial position, a little bit more financial maturity, but very importantly, I'm in a job which affords a lot of overtime.
Yeah.
I love overtime. It's great. Having more money than I spend, I'm sure a lot of people
would
love
it. Doesn't come around very often.
No, it took 6 years to come around for me.
Yeah.
And so I'm now in a position where I can go, right, let's do this before I am the cliche of the mid-40s guy, you know, on a bike, you know, eat, pray, love for fellas kind of thing, So whilst I've really enjoyed living in Queenstown, you could almost say that the dream of doing the travel was bigger, you know, but it's like squaring the circle.
So can you go back to your job? Are you going to come back?
Or
do you not know?
I asked my employers for 9 months off, which is a stretch for any employer. They weren't able to offer me that, which is absolutely fair enough, you know. But I've managed to keep my nose clean. So I think if they can't find people to do my job.
But you are coming back to Queenstown.
Don't know.
You don't know.
It depends how well this trip goes.
Yeah, yeah.
Part of what I'm wanting to do on this trip is also get a lot more writing done, you know. I'm sure there's a market out there for a belligerent northerner with a slightly eccentric view on the world.
Because it's your... Have you been home? I mean, I know I don't go home very often. I've been home 4 years. Do you get to go back very often?
I used to go back quite a bit because people were getting married. My sister and my sister-in-law were having kids. So, you know, it's say hello to the new additions to the family. Went home last year, but that had been the first time in 3 years. So that... The trips home had slowed. So I'm not seeing this as a necessarily... I'm not seeing it as a trip to the UK to stay.
Yeah.
It's a case of, let's take the trip to the UK and assess our options.
Because you could go through Iran and completely fall in love with the place.
I've always said, and I know I'm not making this up, I live in Queenstown because I've never found anywhere nicer to live.
Yeah.
You know, I routinely hate painting myself into a corner. You know, I've seen too many people giving themselves limitations. There are, as wonderful as Queenstown is, there are many, many places in this world that are just as nice as it.
Yeah.
It's not to besmirch Queenstown, it's not the be-all and end-all. Yeah. There's a vast world out there. And I don't know if I'll... I don't know what I'll find. It's just a case of... just kind of letting go, get rid of everything, have the clothes on your back, and be on your way.
Because I was thinking about that whole, you know, when you get comfortable, I don't like getting comfortable.
Yeah.
I get quite, and that feeling uncomfortable doesn't come around very often the older you get, because you don't have to.
That's right.
So what are you, how are you, have you thought about what you could come up against? So what are some of the things that you could come up with?
On the trip through?
Yeah. Through the whole trip?
Through the whole trip, it would be foolish to not think that I could come across problems going through countries which are known to have issues with Westerners going through, such as Pakistan. But you can't... It's the whole thing, you know. If you took every risk too seriously, you'd never leave the house.
Yeah.
You know, the chances of coming unstuck in a place like that, whilst it's possible, it's very, very, very slim.
Yeah.
So there's the possibility of terrorism. There is the possibility of a road traffic accident. But it's the whole thing of. Minimising the risk of whatever minimising whatever risk you can minimise. Was it what's it called? Give me the grace to change the things I cannot accept. The things I cannot change and have the wisdom to know the difference. It's that over the course of 9 months.
So the bike thing, where's that come from? Are you a motorbike enthusiast?
No, not at all. Not at all. Going back to the whole thing of wanting to do the Overland trip.
Yeah.
Fast forward, after read the book in 2002. 2007 saw Ewan and Charlie do their long way round. However, they've got, and I'll not get too technical, they've got bloody great big bikes.
Yeah.
And I knew I did not have the technical skill to ride those. Also, those bikes cost north of $20,000.
Yeah.
So I stupidly, naively just thought, well, if they're using those bikes, they must be the bikes you need to do to do the trip. And then a couple of years ago, late at night on YouTube, I saw a video by a Devon lad called Ed March, who sent his bike, which is very similar to mine, very, very similar, to Malaysia and rode it back to the UK, Top Gear, in a very similar vein to Top Gear. And that was a light bulb moment. It was a case of, right, okay, he's sending, it's called a Honda C90, the most popular motor vehicle that's ever been produced. He sent it to Asia. He's able to get parts all the way back because it's such a popular bike. And he had no trouble at all. He just rode it back. So I thought, well, if he can do that, why can't I?
Yeah.
And then saw and more videos by a lad called Nathan Millwood, who's from Scarborough, I think. And he rode a postie, which is what I decided to have, funnily enough. He rode his back from Australia. So initially I was going to do it public transport, but then I saw what they were doing and thought, that gives me an independence that you can't get with buses, with trains.
Yeah.
And also it adds a little bit of a perverse challenge to it.
Let's add another layer.
Well, yeah, you know, it's... You can never have enough bragging rights down the pub, can you?
So if you had to... Are you training yourself to learn some stuff before you go? Like, where to change this? What happens if this falls off?
Yeah, there is... there's some basics. You need to know how to change a puncture. You need to know how to check your valve spacings, how to change the oil, how to lubricate the chain.
Yeah.
But, and this sounds foolhardy, but I promise you it's not. When you ride through Asia, there are bike repair places through Asia, like there are bars in Queenstown.
Yeah.
Because it is the mode of transport.
Yeah. There's
that many of them. So you don't have to get to nuts and bolts.
You break down there, not in...
I'm a resourceful chap, what can I say?
The middle of the desert.
Well, this is another thing. In the middle of the desert, I'd argue there's a lot more community in the middle of the desert than there is in the middle of a cul-de-sac.
Yeah, yeah.
So when you're in the middle of the desert and you see someone who's broken down, you stop.
Yeah.
That's what people do.
Yeah.
That's something I'm hoping to come back with proof that what we consider the uncivilised world to be...
Yeah.
A lot more civilised than we take credit for.
So I always talk about, to people who do this stuff, talk on here, where's your places in Queenstown? What's special for you? What are those special places?
A lot of the special places, I like the company of other people.
Yeah.
So it's the people who I'm with that makes it special. So it could be Sunday lunchtime, but... Flame. Yeah. You know, when you've had a big night the night before, Flame, ribs, lunchtime, there's no better way to do some sort of a sort of post-mortem on, you know.
Now that's a really interesting statement that you say you like the company of other people and yet you're going to go and spend 9 months on your own. How do you cope on your own?
You don't. So I'll be travelling solo, but I won't be travelling by myself.
No.
You know, you would be amazed at the number of people who are doing what I'm wanting to do.
Yeah.
Maybe not the same point to point, but over swathes of Asia on motorbikes and in Land Cruiser or whatever. So, for a lot of it, I will have the company of my iPod and the sound of the engine and my own...
The wind in your magnificent locks.
Well, gotta wear a helmet, love. All the gear, all the time. But I take what you mean. They are quite luscious. I will have the choice, I think, to be as lonesome.
As you want to be.
Lonesome, but not lonely.
Yeah. I think travelling on your own is so much... I remember when I travelled on my own, only through Australia, but... That whole thing of choosing when you want company and when you don't want company.
Yeah.
It's so awesome.
I've got I don't know if this is my own quote or if I've nicked it, but a mate of mine, I won't name him, was going to Vancouver. And I can't remember whether he's having a little bit of issues about what the trip was going to be like. And I said to him, when you step out of an international airport, it's one of the few times in life when it's the easiest to choose who you want to be.
Yeah.
You know, if you could be the most introverted chap in the world, but if there's no one to haunt you of that, of past errors, yeah, or whatever, yeah, you know, you can walk out of JFK Airport. You can be the big swinging dick if you want to be.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I, there's something about that. I mean, I'm happy in my own skin, don't get me wrong, but you're not constricted by your previous social morals, should we say. It's not bad. It's an extra little facet to it.
Absolutely. So you're going to be documenting this stuff?
Yeah.
Where can we find you?
Oilyragadventures.com. But if you're old school and go to websites other than Facebook or Instagram or Twitter, or YouTube, I'm hopefully going to be spreading my wings in a videography sense.
Yeah.
Because whilst I can paint a good word picture on paper, maybe not talking to you, but you know, whilst I can write stuff down well, you can't beat sometimes just a really good video. You know. So, yeah, there's that. I'm on Instagram. I'm on Twitter. I'm on Facebook. If you just Google Oily Rag Adventures, you should find it.
I love it. It's exciting.
Which is a name thought up by my boss. He just said it off the cuff. You know, when you're away doing your Oily Rag travels. And
You were like, ping.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Good on him.
I'm very excited for you.
Thank you. Many people have said that.
Yeah, it's, no. And you know, my dad always says, if it all goes to shit, you just go home.
Well, funnily enough, my mum always says, Matthew, when are you coming home? She really doesn't want me to do this trip, but.
Yeah.
Sorry, Mum.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fair enough. A boy's got to do what a boy's got to do.
Absolutely. So, like all people who are on this podcast, you have to do your quick fire questions.
Okay. Good God.
Are you ready?
I'm sorry, everyone. Yeah, go on.
Almond or walnut?
Walnut.
Salty or sweet?
Salty.
Mountain or sea?
Sea.
Ski or snowboard?
Ski.
Brittany or Christina?
Christina, because everyone loves a bit of filth.
United or City?
Let's be United.
Okay. Favourite place here to get away from anyone?
Favourite place here to... Ben Lomond.
Nice. And one album that you would have to listen to for the rest of your life, and you only had one.
No, that's easy. And I'm going to spend a bit of time on this one. A Night at the Opera by Queen.
Oh, holy moly.
That, I challenge anyone to listen to that entire album and not be blown away by the breadth of them four lines.
So it'll be on your podcast when you go away. I mean, on your...
Oh, it's a good job MP3s don't wear
it's
out.
It's loaded.
It's got the only song in the history of music about the space-time dilation effect.
And on that note...
On that bombshell.
Matt Booth, oilyragadventures.com. We wish you well.
Thank you.